I was waiting because I didn't hear Matt clap for me, so I was waiting for. Oh, there. Well, he claps for Pastor Shane every time. I have to milk it. Just such a good day today, isn't it? Don't you just feel refreshed already? We could just dismiss and go home, and don't do that yet. I'm just kidding. Now, if you weren't here before, you don't know what that means, but I just said one message. I said, if you say hallelujah, that'll be my time limit, so. I get to go to 12:16 today, and then we're going to be good. I want to invite somebody up that probably you all don't know, but you're going to know after I bring them up. We have Chris and Coria Brock with us. Does anyone know who they are? Raise your hand if you know who they are. You don't know who they are. So, would you guys come up? I want you to come up, and they're visiting with us today. So good to have you guys with us. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do with the ministry, and then I want you to fill them in just a little snip of what's coming in 2025. Amen.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for the amazingly warm welcome that we have received. We actually do know a number of y'all, and over the last few years, we've been invited multiple times to come and worship. And finally, we were able to make it today and super blessed to be here. So thank you guys very much. My name is Chris. This is my wife, Coria. And we have a ministry that God called us to begin. We started this back around 2015. It's called Life with Christ Ministries. And we do work in and around Columbiana and Mahoning County. We also do international work on mission trips and things like that. And just have been so blessed to see God move and, moving in the lives and the communities in this area. And one of the very core drives that we believe God has placed in our heart is unity in the body of Christ. To see unity restored in the body of Christ, to see walls broken down, to see barriers demolished, and to see his body come together. Jesus prayed, Father, let them be one as you and I are one. And one of the things that God has placed in our heart in a very deep way is an event that's going to take place all the way next year. It's actually going to be June 21st of 2025. The event is going to be called Joining Voices for Jesus. And it's going to be multi-county type of an event. And it will culminate with Christians and pastors and believers and disciples from all across this area coming together in one location to send a message that we are one under one God with one spirit and one heart and one mind to our community so that they know that Jesus is alive and that he is moving and having his way in this world today, that we serve a risen Savior. And so we believe that God has showed us that Salem will be that central point. We're working on finalizing a venue, the football stadium there. We've got multiple ways of working that, and we're praying that that's going to be set in stone very soon. And that stadium holds 5,000 to 6,000 people. And we believe that God is going to do something amazing that day, and we're going to see that stadium filled with believers worshiping in one heart, one voice, and one mind, Jesus Christ. And that event is actually starting right now, though, because the very first thing that we're doing is a Christian art contest to determine the artwork that will be used on the material that we're going to use to send out to the communities and all the churches that represents the message, Joining Voices for Jesus. And so if you or someone in your family or someone you know is an artist and, you know, draw, paint, sketch, whatever, any kind of two-dimensional art, there's actually a way that you can submit that artwork. And on that day, not only will the sort of the winner of that be the one that will go out on all the material to get the name out, but those artworks are going to be displayed around that venue as well. And another way to worship Christ through art and things like that. So there are many other things that are going to be a part of this event, but I am so blessed, you know, Pastor Mark, that you allowed us to come up and share this with you guys today. We do have flyers. I don't know how many we brought with us, but it's got a barcode on it that you can go and see about the event and how to submit, you know, art if you'd like to do that. But God bless you guys. Thank you so much for welcoming us today. And pray a blessing on all of you. Amen. Okay. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Stay here. Stay here. Stretch your hands toward them. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the vision. You have visionaries in front of us today, Lord. And you said where there's no vision, the people perish. So I thank you, Lord, for the vision. We pray for things to happen exactly how you want it to happen with them. Bless them before they arrive. Bless the meetings before they happen. Lord, call them in already from the north, the south, the east, and the west to come into that stadium. It's going to be in the stadium. Don't think it's not, because it will be. It's done. It's done for a bunch of reasons. I'm prophetically saying that, and I know what I know. So we already, sometimes in God, you know things because he tells you it, and then you just repeat what he said. So, Father, we pray that you would just anoint every aspect of it, every detail. Father, be in every detail of every piece of this, and you're going to get so much glory because of this. That's why we know you want to do it, and you're for it. And we bless them, bless their house, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless, God bless, God bless. God bless. God bless. Thank you. We like it. Well, happy Father's Day, right? I have some things that I want to give away before I start. Did I already start? I guess I already started. I have a really cool, it's called Time with God for Fathers. It's a really cool devotional for fathers. And there are some of these. We didn't get as many as we thought we were getting, but there are some on the table. So if you're a father and you want to grab one, or you want to grab one for your father, when they're gone, they're gone. Who is the oldest father in the building right now, in this room right now? Who do you think? The oldest father? Who's that? Is George here? How old is George? How old? 83. Is there a father older than 83? Oh, I see another hand. Martin. How old is Martin? 80. Going once, twice, three times. I just give him a big hand. Nobody's more than 89. We know that. He got one himself because he knew he was going to pre-win. So, see, that's prophetic. That's great. That God, God. Who's the youngest father? That means you probably have a new baby. Who's the youngest father? Who do you think? Somebody say it louder. I have a mic on. Oh. The newest father is what I meant, newest. Who is it? Carter? Is it Carter? Where's Carter? He's not exempt if he's the youngest, the newest. Okay. More than Pastor Shane? Help me, Kat. What did I say? Did I say youngest? Yeah, who's the youngest age-wise father? Youngest. Carter's the youngest? Okay, give that to him so I can go on. Let the church say, whew. okay. Here we go. Let's jump. We got to jump in, man. We got to jump in. We speak a lot about Jesus. We speak a lot about Holy Spirit. What you don't hear a lot of messages on is the Father. Sometimes the Father to some people is this very mysterious, mystique entity running the universe that you can't connect with. But today, we're going to see that, I'm not going to read all these, but Jesus actually mentioned the Father in some way, shape, or form, in prayer, in discussion, in conversation, 167 times, okay? That's a lot. Now, that wasn't by accident, okay? He was our example. And I want to set the stage. You know, when you go in the theatrical world, before the show happens, they have to set the stage. They set the props, they set the things up, and now they can do it. Without it, you're going to fill in blanks that maybe won't fit the actual show you're watching. So I'm going to lay some foundation here. We're going to read through some scripture, and then we're going to go somewhere. I was saying backstage after they were done worshiping, I said, boy, everybody, I asked Pastor Shane to pray over baskets and he preaches my message. I asked Pastor Ben to come up, he preaches my message. Before we even started, they prayed during worship and that was preaching the message. So it's in my notes, you'll see. Isn't that cool? Ain't God cool? John 8:12. Let's go there. You just follow me. Okay? I'm going to read from NASB, okay? Because that's a good one. They're all good. Except for New World Translation. Don't read that. That's a Jehovah's Witness Bible. Don't read that one. Okay. Other than that, they're pretty much all good. Okay. Okay. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Check out what Jesus says. Jesus answered them and said, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. But you do not know where I've come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone here, he's saying. But if I do judge, my judgment's true. For I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it's been written that the testimony of two men is true. How many of you know, don't start arguing with Jesus, you'll lose. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, what'd they say to him? Read. Where's your Father? Say that. Where's your Father? And Jesus answered and said, what? You know neither me. Read. That sounded like tongues. Let's read it together. You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Right? In these words, he spoke in the treasury. He was at the offering box as he taught in the temple. And no one sees him because his hour had not yet come. Then he said to them, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sins. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you can't come. You have to take most of what Jesus says and put it into proper context to get the actual meaning of what he's saying. Oftentimes, you can miss the whole point if you just read the words. Okay? Here's a case in point. And he was saying to them, you are from below. I'm from above. You're from this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, what'd they say to him? Who are you? Everybody say that. Who are you? That's what they said, right? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? Are you serious? I think there's some scripture not written in the scripture where Jesus went, ay, 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 right? Did he say that? He was Jewish. He probably said something like that. I have many things to speak to and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, These are what I speak to the world. They did not realize that they had been speaking, that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Say this, say, when we say Father, say that. That's the title. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. Read verse 29 with me, go. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he spoke these things, what happened? Many people came to believe. Let's go to John 5, 15 through 23. John 5, 15 through 23. So afterward, Jesus finds this guy that he healed in the temple, right? And he said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing things on the Sabbath. Do you realize he wasn't doing things on the Sabbath? He was the Sabbath. We don't put... That commandment is the only one that's not actually endorsed or even quoted as a commandment in the New Testament. Because he said, no, you're looking, I'm the Sabbath. You rest in me. We rest in a person, not in a day, right? But he answered them and said, what? What did he say? My Father is working, louder, until now, and I myself. What? Say that again. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, there were Jews were all seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, what did he say to them? Read. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he's given all judgment to the Son, so that all who will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. Let's look at John 17, 1 through 12. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is the eternal life, that they may know you and the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. Read verse 8. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. Say that again. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. Who's the them? That's us, right? Okay. And they received them and truly understood that I come forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I did not ask on behalf of the world, but those whom you have given me. He's having a long conversation with the Father here, right? Okay. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. I've been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, read this, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me. Now read that again. Keep them in your name, the name which you've given me. Okay? Who's the your? That's the Father, right? Who's the me? That's the Son. What's the name? Jesus, right? Watch this. That they may be one, even as we are one. Okay? Chris preached part of my message too, I guess, right? Okay. While I was with them, I was keeping them, how? In your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Here's an interesting thing. Do we have Philippians 2:9? Did we add that? Let's read this together. Go. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. When we say Father, so many things happen. First of all, we call on the very nature and essence of God. Father in Aramaic is the word Abba. Everybody say Abba. If you're really old, you're thinking of a music group. I'm not talking about that. Wasn't that Abba? Abba. Everybody say Abba. It's a colloquial form used by little Jewish kids toward their fathers, and it's best translated as Papa or Daddy. Daddy. Cap, what was that guy's name that always said Papa God with Bishop? Leif Hetland. Anybody know Leif Hetland? You know, some of you know Leif, yeah, yeah. He doesn't say Papa God. He'd say Papa God, Papa God, Papa God. And you know, in some religions, it would be the worst thing you could ever do is call Allah, Abba. That you don't say Papa God. He's God over everything. You know, Allah. Somebody said, well, Allah is God. They, you know, the Muslims say Allah is God, and you say that Jesus is God or whoever. And I said, no, no. Things that are different are not the same. I'll leave that there. Okay. Figure that out. Melancholies, figure that out on your own. Sanguines, you go, amen. They know, right? See, they get it. They're on my side. Okay. So when we begin our conversation with the Father in prayer, prayer causes us not just to know God as a creator, like this abstract, untouchable thing, but he's related himself to us with the word Father. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about biology. This isn't biology. This is theology. Okay? Bio is a study. Yeah, that's the natural. Theology, study of God, right? How many of you know that God is not a man? He said, God is not a man that he should lie, you know. He's Father. Now, there's some people, and you're going to hear this, trust me. I mean, I already know it because I'm talking to people, that they are pushing, you know, when you see what happened in the Methodist church and that whole mess, if you know what that is, we'll leave it there. But it's not the Methodist right now, but there's a couple other groups that are pushing the motherhood of God. That God is Father, God is Mother, God is whatever. You know, they're taking, when you take the Father foundation out of anything, including God, you're in a mess. You're in a mess, right? And here's something that I hear too. And Kat and I were talking about this, and I think she said that it started in like the 70s. We actually had a term that floated around, and we even say it, and I'd like to suggest if you say this that you stop saying it. We say, oh, Mother Nature. That's not biblical. That's not right. I don't know where that came from, but people started saying Mother Nature. No. It's not Mother Nature, right? It comes from the Father. We should say Father Nature. He's the one that did it, right? Okay. Colossians 1:11, let's read this. We also pray that you, being strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have endurance and patience you need, May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. Here it is. This is why you can't say Mother Nature. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Say that. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm. He made the things we can see, things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. What's that last sentence? Read the last part. And he holds all creation together, right? Now, a lot of times you can't, when we say Father, you can't assess your heavenly Father necessarily the way you assess your earthly Father, okay? Because a lot of times we know maybe your earthly Father was not active in your life. Maybe you're abused or neglected by your Father, abandoned, or maybe your Father was like overly militant toward you. So oftentimes people see they can't relate to their heavenly Father because they have an issue with the earthly Father. Okay? Are you with me? Okay? These are staggering statistics. Check this out. 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. He said that in John 14:18, right? So when we say Father, we express his nature. God is Father. When we say Father, we expect his nurture. Now, there's some young fathers in here, and I'm sure Pastor Shane would probably be a good example for this, that, you know, if there's a time where Easy might come up to him and say, what's he call you? Dada, dada. Everybody say dada. Sometimes, did you feel weird saying that? What's Abba mean? Same thing, right? They mean the same thing, okay? So Easy comes up to Pastor Shane and he says, dada, I want a drink. And he goes, get your own drink. You don't say that to him, I hope, do you? Sean, tend to your son. Oh, he's capable, but you get it. You help him. So when Easy calls on Pastor Shane, he's not just saying his name. He's saying, nurture me. I need you. I can't do this by myself. How many of you know there's so many things in your life that you can't do by yourself? Probably most of your trouble and struggles comes because you're trying to do something by yourself that you need the Father to help you do it. Amen? This is kind of cool. In Luke 11:1, that Jesus is with the disciples, and they're all praying, and they think they're pretty good prayers. I can make up words, I'm allowed. Until they heard Jesus pray. And when they heard Jesus pray, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, what? Lord, teach us how to pray. Say that. Lord, teach us how to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples. Now, let's look at Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Reading a lot of Bible. Two things that really enhance your relationship with the Father is reading his word and talking to him. Right? Okay? Check this out. Verse 5. What's the first three words of verse 5? Say it. Say it again. When you pray. When you pray. So they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. So Jesus said, when you pray, this isn't my prayer. This is really not the Lord's prayer. You do not want to pray the Lord's prayer. I got some weird Or is there a heresy? No. You don't want to pray. You can't pray the Lord's Prayer. That happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, which insinuates what? That you pray or you're going to pray. Now, don't raise your hand. How many of you pray? How many of you pray only when something goes bad? I have some friends that only call me and they say, oh, Pastor Mark, would you pray for this? They don't say anything. They only pray in crises, okay? How would it be if Easy only went to Pastor Shane when something went wrong? You know, I'm sure there's times where Easy just jumps up in his lap and says, oh, I'm just here. He doesn't say it, but it happens, right? Where they have like this father-son time and they ride bikes together and do all kind of crazy things. I watch the videos and I'm thinking, holy smokes, that kid needs to wear a helmet and a body armor and all that stuff that Pastor Shane put that little kid through. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. I watch the videos. Okay. He said, teach us to pray. Now, listen, here's where we're going to take this airplane here. All that to land here. Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Jesus says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Read verse 6. But you, when you pray, what do? Go into the inner room. What else? Close the door. What else? Pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret rewards you. There were times that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. Sometimes he went all by himself. He said, you guys can't go. I'm going by myself. And he'd go. And what did he do every time he was by himself? Prayed to the Father. He's always having a conversation with his Father, right? Verse 9 says, pray in this way, right? Oh, let's go back. I skipped, sorry. Verse 7, read. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So don't be like them. Read, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 9, pray then in this way or in this manner. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Read, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the one in here. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. This is not necessarily a prayer meant to be repeated by rote. Jesus didn't say, how many of you know you don't say prayers, you pray prayers? I've been in some places where they say, let's all stand and say the Lord's Prayer. You don't say a prayer, you pray a prayer, okay? If I'm in your house, I don't say, hey, say a conversation to me. I said something at a party last night that we were at a graduation, but I will not say that today, Marcia. I hope you forgot. I said, some people I know do that, but we won't say that here. Okay, you don't want to read something. How awkward would it be if you went to a show, you went to Columbiana Theater, you're watching a show, and the actor gets on stage, and they're reading their thing, and they go, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Wouldn't that be so awkward? Like, just say it, you know? Sometimes we pray. The scripture said, when you pray the Father, don't use vain repetition. Don't use big Christian words. How many of you know that you don't have to pray in King James? You don't have to pray in somewhere. God understands, the Father understands common English. O thou precious Heavenly Father, we come to thee once again asking thee, O God, that thou mightest come before thy presence, before thy... You start sounding like Sylvester if you pray in King James, right? At least you don't know who Sylvester is. It's a too young crowd. Okay? That's not my alarm. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. Listen, we got to go here. Come on. Come on. Listen. The Catholics do this. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. This is not a rosary, I'm telling you that. This is from my Rise coffee. I love it. It's little mushrooms. Okay. Hail Mary, full of grace. Are blessed, the Lord is with thee. Blessed among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother. And they do that how many times? Rhymes with 10. Everybody say 10. They say it 10 times. That's vain repetition. What does that do? It hits the ceiling and bounces back down. He said, don't do that, right? It's not the particular length of time we pray that counts. Don't argue with the Father when you pray. It's not the logic of your prayer that counts. It's the focus and the power of your prayer. Even if you pray, when you say Father, don't, you know, I've been with some people and I say, hey, pray. No, I don't pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, do you know how to talk? If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. Now, we were at Mont Leone's. How many of you know Mont Leone's? He's a police officer in East Palestine. And we were at their house this week. We had dinner. I made pasta and took some pasta over. And AJ, how many of you know AJ? He's 3 years old. He's three. He's like, you ever meet a kid that's 3 years old, but he's really like 30, you know, in conversation? This kid. So we're sitting there, and we're eating pasta, and then somebody said the big bad words that messed everything up. Ooh, if you eat all your pasta, we have ice cream cones coming. So AJ's sitting there, and Kat's sitting next to me. I'm having a full-fledged conversation with the kid. Now, I told Anthony that I was going to be talking about him today, so I have a license to say this. So AJ's brain goes way faster than his lips produce words right now because he's only three. So he said to me, because he was getting kind of upset because he wasn't allowed to have his ice cream, so he was trying to communicate with me. And he looked at me and he said, I'm enough pasta, full of pasta, and then I'm ice cream cone. That's what he said. Cat went, huh? And I said, oh, he said he's full of pasta right now, but he's ready for his ice cream cone. That's what he said. He's full, I'm full, but I want my ice cream cone. That's what he said. And Kat goes, oh, that's what he said. And we had this ongoing conversation, and he'd say, I'm outside to play. And okay, you want to go outside to play? I heard all that other little stuff in between, but I know what he meant. Sometimes when you pray, you don't know what to pray, and you're just going, God, I don't know what to do. Father, help me. And then, Father, in the name of Jesus. That's how you should pray. Pastor Shane did it today. Father, in the name of Jesus. You pray to the Father. No man comes to the Father, but if you want a good way to pray, I'm not saying that's how you pray, but it's a way to pray. Father, in Jesus' name. That gets his attention, right? That gets the attention of the Father invoking the authority of his Son, right? Father, in Jesus' name. And so you might have all those little, we'll call them AJ words in your prayer. That's okay. You know, Jesus didn't pray lengthy prayers. Sometimes you think your prayer has to be lengthy and word. Sometimes this could be your prayer. Father. That could be a prayer. Do you know that could be a prayer? One word, Father, help me. Father, I love you. Don't always go to him with your to-do list. You know, there's times when you have conversations with people where, and I can only do this with my close friends, because if I do this with somebody I'm not close to, it's weird, okay? I'll call somebody, and I like calling people without an agenda. I have no agenda when I call them, right? I'll just call them. And I do this to Kat a lot. I'll call Kat, and she says the exact same thing almost every time. And I say this, I call. She goes, hello? And I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm at my desk at the office working. She says that every time. Every time she says that first. You know, I'm at my desk. You know? Now, what was the purpose of that call? I didn't have a purpose. I'm just calling to talk. I'm saying, now, here's something I've learned. When somebody calls you, generally, a lot of times this happens, the last thing they say is the real reason they called. Pastor Mark, how's it going? How's the church? Oh, how's Kat? Oh, so nice. Everything good? Praise God. You're doing good with worship? Yeah. Hey, can I have 20 bucks? Oh. That's the real reason you called. Oh, that's okay. Everybody, and now I'll go, oh, everybody's good. Everybody's good. Praise God. Everybody's good. So I encourage you to have these. What are you doing? How about this prayer? Father, what are you doing? You know? And those conversations, is Dave here? Dave Guy's here. How many times do I call you and say that? He goes, he can't count that high. He's a teacher. He can't even count that high. I said, what are you doing? And I do this with Anthony. Anthony calls me a lot, you know, because he works night a lot. And he'll call me and for no reason. And we have this lengthy conversation that ends up being this crazy, cool, deep conversation about things of the Word and things Jesus is doing. And it all comes from just going, what's up? What's up? How about this, Father? What's up? Are you close enough to him that you can say that? Okay? Now we have to move. Okay? Say this. When you say Father, all kind of stuff can happen. You know, there's an old song we used to sing. It goes like this. Do you know the song? Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. How I love you. Say that. Say, Father, I adore you. If you sing harmony, sing harmony. Lay my life before you. One more time. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. Somebody's going somewhere. We have to do it one more time. Come on. Father, I adore. Lay my life. Lay my life before you. How I love you. How I love you. How you say Father, I encourage you this week, say Father. I have one. Can we sing this? Can we sing this? I'll do it by myself. Can we say, ah, he knows my name. I have a Father. Say this line. Say, I have a Father. Calls me his own. He called me his own. He'll never leave, he'll never leave me. No matter where, no matter where I go. He knows my name, say, he knows my name. He knows. And he hears me when I call. I have a maker. Say.
I have a maker for my heart. He for my heart. Before even time began, my life was in.
Could you stand with me and sing it?
Say, He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call.
I have a Father, say,
I have a Father. He for me His own.
He'll never leave.
He'll never leave me. No matter where I go.
Sing it out loud. Say,
You know my name, say,
You know my name.
Yes, You do, yes, You do.
You know my every thought. You see each tear that falls. You hear me when I call.
Standing. When you look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, I encourage you to pray in that manner. Don't say those words, right? Pray in that manner. Take a minute and you say, acknowledge Him, our Father in heaven. And you say that in some form, some words. Now, normally at the end of a service, we have the prayer team come down and pray. We're not going to do that today. We're all going to pray together, okay? The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. So when we say Father, our Father in heaven, if you don't know how to pray, say something. It might be two words, it might be a sentence. If you take just 10 seconds and pray in that manner of my Father in heaven, could you just say something to the Father? Could you connect with Him? Just in your open your mouth, just say something to Him. Father, thank You for being my Father. There's a next section that says, Holy is Your name. Could you just tell Him how holy His name is? Could you just open up your mouth and just tell Him, just want to say, You're holy, Lord. There's no one like You, God. No one like You, God. When we say Father, we acknowledge who You are. We acknowledge Your name. When we say Your kingdom come, could you take a moment to just pray, Lord, I don't want what I want. I want what You want. Let what You want work its way in me. Would you lift that up and say that this morning? However that comes out of your mouth. Lord, I'm tired of doing things my way. Father, help me. I need Your help. I want to do it Your way. Because Your way's perfect. My way's messed up. I've tried my way too long. Let Your will be done. There's also a part of the prayer, we're breaking it up, but you can learn how to do this. Thank Him for supplying everything that you've had. Give us this day our daily bread,
right? Pray that. Can you just thank him for supplying all your needs? You can even petition him in this. It says, let your prayers and petitions be known unto God, Lord. Thank you for supplying money. Father, you've supplied all our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Forgive us our debts. One version says our trespasses, that we forgive those trespasses against us. This is where a part of your prayer to the Father, you ask him to forgive you and to forgive those who have wronged you. If you need to pray for somebody, just say, Father, forgive me for those people I've wronged. If anybody has wronged me, I forgive them. Make that part of your prayer. Do this week. I encourage you to do this week. I'm just giving you the teach us how. You got to make it. You got to do your own prayer, right? And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Wow. What a prayer to pray to the Father in this day and time. Deliver us from evil. Would you just take a moment to pray to the Father about delivering you from anything that tries to come against you? Open up your mouth and say it. You don't need somebody to pray for you. You learn how to pray yourself, right? Father, we break the power of darkness, Lord. Keep us from that evil, Lord. We can only be kept from evil because of you, Lord God. No one else. Deliver us. Deliver our country, Lord, from the evil. Deliver our nation from the evil. And however long your prayer time is this week, and your homework is to go in your room, shut the door, pray to your Father in heaven, and when you say Father, you're accessing something. You're getting his attention. How does that prayer that he gave that model end? It's, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Say it big, say it. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, minor, yours is the glory forever. Can we lift our hands and say it big, say it. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Begin in a conversation with Almighty God that will grow our relationship with him deeper and deeper, greater every day. Aren't you glad that the Father desires for us to talk to him and have conversation with him? Do it this week. Watch where it takes you. Be intentional with your prayer time. Be intentional with your prayer time. Be intentional with your prayer time. Don't let time steal your prayer time away. Cut a bunch out. It's too important this week for you. Get in your closet. When you say, Father, that things will happen. Prayer can do anything God can do. Someone once said, and God can do anything. Amen. How many of you glad you came to church this morning?